This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لا فلا مدل له ومن يتلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, to all the sisters and brothers, let's begin with the prayer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya وبك نموت وإليك النشور بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبة وعملا متقبلا اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. All praise due to Allah Rabbul Alameen. May Allah Rabbul Alameen strengthen our iman, increase our sabr, and make us among the qanitin, the qanitat, the zakirin Allah kathira wa zakirat. Meaning, make us people who are steadfast with whatever we know, who will act according to the knowledge that we have acquired, and also remember Allah Rabbul Alameen always. Good time, bad time, when you are alone, when you are with your friend, you will not forget Allah Rabbul Alameen. Amin. Brothers and sisters, we always start our class with a prayer. We ask Allah for this, for that, to bless our morning, to bless our evening, to bless our living, where we're living, and also to bless us when we die, to have a good ending. We ask Allah for protection from all the bad things that can happen to us, things that we have no control. We want the best, but what will happen to us, only Allah knows. We have been asking Allah always to give us a good life in this world and a better one in the next life. But whenever you are asking Allah for something, it's important for us to be committed with our prayer, that we are very sincere in asking Allah for things. We really want what we want from Allah, we ask Him. Most of the time our prayer have been answered, but we do not know. This is something that create a lot of misunderstanding among the believers. They say, I'm asking God, but I don't see any response from Him. Give you one simple example. Do you think guidance is very important in life? Very important. That's why every day we are asking Allah for guidance. Ihdina siratul mustaqim, O Allah, guide us through the straight path, to the right way. We want to stay right. So when you ask Allah for this, what do you think? Allah do not guide us? Do you think Allah is not guiding us? But we are asking almost every day. Yeah? We have been asking, we pray, we recite Fatiha, asking for guidance. Are you waiting for another guidance to be revealed to you? Are you waiting for another book to be revealed to you, another prophet to be sent to you. No more. Quran is the last book. Prophet is Khataman Nabiyin. No prophet after him. The book is with you. Remember, I don't know whether I said here or other class. It's time for to recite at least one page of the Quran every day. One page. Without doing that, how can you be guided by the Quran? The Quran was revealed by Allah as a guidance, hudal linnas. But I do not say that Muslims are not reading the Quran, but they don't understand. So how can this book guide you when you're reading the book without understanding? You can't. There are so many classes going on, yeah, every day. In Alhamdulillah, in our country, you have in the masjid, in the surau, the smaller masjid, office, lunchtime, they have classes. So many classes everywhere. If you want to learn, you can keep on moving from one class to another class. But what is happening to us, the more we learn, the more we get confused sometimes. The more we attend classes, the more we get uncertain. What are we doing? Is this the right way? Is that the right way? We get confused. Why? Because the way we are learning is not correct. And the best way is to understand the basic foundation of our religion first, before we move to other subjects. How did the Quran was revealed to the Prophet? It was revealed based on the incident that took place in his time. When something happened, Allah sent down verses to guide the Prophet, answer them in this manner. When the question comes to them, the Prophet have to give them an answer, and then Allah revealed another ayah, said to them, this is what Allah said in his book. So the best way is we have to learn through questioning. We must engage ourselves in a class. And you should ask what is more important first. Thing have some relationship with your daily life. That is very important. Example, most of us are sisters here. What is the most important thing in the family for us? Happy family. Very important. We want the family to be together, to be happy. MashaAllah. This is what we hope and we pray for. And how do you attain happy family? How do you attain happiness? Do you want to be happy, sisters? Yes. Do you think it's important for you to make your children happy? Yes. Do you think it's important to make your husband happy? Yes. So how are you going to do that? Show you example. Simple example. Why the Prophet said, after you just got married, if the one who are married is the first marriage, you have to have 7 days privacy. Don't let any party get involved. Your close friend, your father, your mother, everybody, you just put them aside first. You spend time between the both party. 1 solid week. The West said honeymoon. Yeah. Why that week is so important? That is the time for you to get to know each other and learn what he dislike, what he like. And also you must express your feeling, what you like and what you dislike. So everybody know how to make each other happy. Yeah? When you know what they like, you give it to them. What they dislike, you don't do it. You will be very happy. Will we be happy? Of course, you should be happy. That's how you find happiness. You cannot say, my right, my way. How can you be happy only my way? And then your husband said, I also have my way. Then the children said, this is my life. Now, everybody will have their own value. No, you have to sit down, discuss. You have to learn, how can I make my or become a good wife? Example, how many of us asked the teacher how to be a good wife? None of us asked, because we believe we are good wives. So we don't have to learn anymore. We don't have to ask. I know. Overconfident, you thought that you know everything. That is our problem. The same goes to the men. How many men ask their ustaz, ustaz, how can I be a good husband? They don't ask. When you don't ask, then the teacher thought that you all are okay. They don't have to address that matter. Just another simple example. Basic, very important, is our communication with Allah. How many times that we have been asking, how can I perfect my prayer? How can I get closer to Allah through this prayer? We don't even ask a lot. We just learn how to pray, but we don't really engage, we don't ask. I have shared with all of you a few times how the companions seek knowledge, mashallah. The minute they are free, they will come to the Prophet, they will ask important things. Something to do with their daily life that they can act upon it immediately. They don't waste time. Example, in general, whatever the Prophet wants them to do, they will do. Then if they think they want to do more, they'll come to the Prophet. Ya Rasulullah, tell us, what is the thing that Allah loves most? We want to do now. Now we want to do. Ayyu a'malu ahabba ilallah. They will come to the Prophet and ask him directly. But if you don't ask, the Prophet don't even know what you really want, what you really need in your daily life. But they want to do something now, now. After this, that made Allah very happy. See how they learn? And that's why they are the best nation. Because these are the best people who always ask the best question and do the best thing. They improve very fast. Can you imagine, brother and sister, from an uncivilized nation, Jahiliyyah, pagan, in 23 years, everything changed. In, out, changed. The way they think, the way they behave, the way they talk, the way they communicate with people, the environment changed. MashaAllah. We have been learning for 40 years. Sometimes go forward, backward again. Forward, backward again. And the more we learn, the more problem we have. We create more problems. Sometimes we have problems, husband. Don't go to class anymore. You learn so much now, you become so demanding and you always argue with me. Because you thought you have learned a lot now. You can teach me, you can tell me what I do is wrong. They are so not happy. Like what happened to our children. They're in the IT world now. They say, we don't know anything about the world today. They are the one who knows. Something is very wrong. Our attitude has changed. So it's time for us to focus the basic. What is very important for you now? If you think that your relationship with the husband is not that good, now that is the question that you all have to follow up to ask. Before things get worse. Example. You know your children are having problems. That is the thing that you have to ask. To tackle the issue. Then you see things keep on moving more positive, yeah, and constructive, because you are responding to the issue. You understand that, sister? That is why as-su'al miftah al-ilm, questioning is the key of knowledge. We do not know what you really need until you come and tell us, "Ustaz, Sheikh, I have an issue." Unless, alhamdulillah, all the sisters here are issueless. Yeah? Alhamdulillah. Yeah? We have zero problem. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless all of us. But if you are aware that there is some problem, please always address that problem before it gets worse. If you don't ask in the class, don't ask, because it's very private. But you must be very proactive. Ask. Now, normally we ask after we got an answer, some guidance. What do we do? But most of them we don't act. I said, read the Quran one page a day. Have we started from last week? Alhamdulillah. Good. Do you do it every day? Alhamdulillah. Example. Start. Someone must recite the Quran, the other one recite the meaning, and then if you think you want to discuss, do we have the right same understanding? And let us do what Allah wants us to do. Collectively, there will be a lot of blessing. That's how you move forward. Inshallah, may Allah make it easier. I just want to remind all the good sisters and brothers, be more focused in what is important in your life. Learn and understand the basic foundation of this religion before you move to other subjects. We are entertaining a lot of things, we forgot the basic. Even our prayer towards Allah, the daily prayer, we have problem. Yeah? Because we don't focus on that. If we have parents, brothers and sisters, for those who say have parents, do we ask, how can I serve my parents in the best manner? How can I make them happy before they go back to Allah, so that I will be very satisfied. I give the best and they will be very happy. And when Allah, the Prophet said, when the parent is happy, it makes Allah happy. But did we try to check how can we make them happy? We don't do that. Why? Because we are too busy. Overconfident, we thought that I've done enough. Ask, there's nothing wrong to ask. We do not want to feel regret in our life. Think that we can express ourselves when we are alive with somebody that we care, we love, express. Don't keep it. So that you don't grieve. You don't regret. Yeah. Today we should be on page 38. Yeah? Under the topic of? Yeah. Permissible acts of grieving. Can you be sad? Can you shed tears? Yes, in Islam. There are times you are happy. There are times you are sad. And one of the hadiths of the Prophet, that the Prophet ﷺ did mention, you know that there's seven group of people who receive the shade from Allah in the Day of Judgment, where there's no other shade except Allah's shade. And one of them is the people who remember Allah. يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا حَتَّى فَعَدَتْ أَيْنَهُ. A person who always remember Allah, reflect with Allah when they are alone, or even with somebody in a company, but especially when you are alone, nobody to talk to, you talk to Allah, you communicate with Allah, and you shed tears. Tears come up. Your tear, you shed tears, is not because of people, because of you and Allah. That tears will allow you to receive the shade from Allah in the day of judgment. When you see a sad movie, do you shed tears? Yeah? Normally, yes. If you still have, you become a tearless person, something is wrong with your heart. Don't think that, you know, when I don't shed tears, I am a real person. No. I'm a very strong. No, no, no. You should. Sometimes you pray, brother and sister, there are times that you are so focused in your prayer, you shed tears. You don't know why sometimes. Tears is coming down. Allahu Akbar. When I first became a Muslim, I joined one group, the Tabligh Jama'ah. At that time, is an alien to the Malays. This is known to the Indian Muslim, not the Malay. The Malay, each time you go to their house, if you are going for gash, they thought that you are a beggar, they give you some money. They said, no, no, we are not here to ask any money, we are here to remind you, let's go to the mosque, after Asar today, near Maghrib, there will be a reminder, there will be some recitation for Da'il, and let us pray Jama'ah. At that time, I still remember, you don't have more than 10 Malays who follow this movement. You can count. But today, there's a lot who are joining. And then when they make prayer, the one who make dua will keep on pray and pray until he shed tears. If his tears do not come up, he will keep on making dua. So you don't know how long. And then when he shed tear, and he don't see the others also shed tear, he will prolong his dua again until everybody have to shed tears. Then only he cool down, and then end his dua. So if you want to make sure he make a short dua, you shed tears first. Now that kind of tears have no value. It's under pressure, you know. You look at your brother shedding tears now, crying, that's and cry. So you also have to force yourself, I have to cry, you know. So become the crying Jama'ah. Allahu Akbar. Uncovering and kissing the dead person. This book is here to show us, to guide us. What should we do when somebody that we love, that we know, very close to us, pass away? Those who were permitted to kiss the deceased during his life are allowed to kiss him after death. It's very important to understand this sentence. Normally, you can kiss somebody when they are your mahram. Your mother, your father. Of course, you don't kiss in the lip anymore, you kiss on the forehead, especially the forehead. Yeah. The non-mahram, of course, yeah, you can kiss them when they are alive, the same thing, you don't kiss them after they die. Even you are close to them, yeah, everything, there's a limit. Jabir bin Abdullah reported that his father's body was covered after he was killed and mutilated. And this is how people do to the dead body at that time. He uncovered his face and wept. Of course, when he looked at the father, he cried. Those around him tried to prevent him from death. No, that means there are people who say, why you do that? Accept, it's qadr. When people are very tough, no? You must accept it, rida. But the Prophet did not prevent him. When the Prophet ﷺ commanded that he be raised in preparation for burial, that mean to carry his body. His sister Fatima, that means, yeah, the sister of who? Of the father, started weeping. The Prophet then assured her of her brother's great status with Allah. لا تبقي, do not weep. مَزَالَتْ الْمَلَائِكَ تُزِلِّهِ, because the angel continued shading him with their wings until he was raised. That means the angel is around. Now the Prophet is not stopping her completely. The Prophet is trying to console her, yeah, to make her feel, don't worry, no, he is in good hand. Allah will bless him. La tabki here is that, you know, when women cry, they can be very, very emotional compared with men. And that's why the Prophet don't encourage the woman to send the dead body to the graveyard, to follow the funeral to the graveyard, because they become so emotional, especially when they want to bury the loved one, when they want to put them into the hole and then to cover with the earth. That is the time they cannot control their feeling. They will come and stop, yeah, the process of burial. No. Not yet. Then the Prophet forbid the woman for a while. Ummu Atiyah then said, later on there was a group of ladies who went to the graveyard, followed the funeral. And then Omar saw them. Omar wanted to chase them out from the graveyard. The Prophet just leave them. Command Omar, leave them alone, because they do not disturb the burial. Meaning the lady are strong enough to control themselves. Yeah? They do not stop or delay the burial. So the Prophet said, leave them. So when the Prophet forbid for a reason, and when the reason is not there, the Prophet will allow. So you cannot generalize that, oh, woman cannot go to the graveyard, because the first incident. And that's why in certain countries, in India, in Pakistan, in Sri Lanka, all the graveyard, they put a big signboard, woman is forbidden to enter the graveyard, based on the first incident. But they overlook what the Prophet allowed later on. Everything, there is a reason. Aisha also reported that the Prophet ﷺ entered to where the body of Uthman bin Maz'un was, uncovered his face, leaned over him, kissed him, and cried until I saw the tears running down his cheek. Even the Prophet cried, shed tears. Can man kiss a man's forehead? Man and man are mahram. Even they are not your biological sibling and so on, but they are your mahram, because mahram means people that you cannot get married with. So men and men are mahram, woman and woman are mahram. Mahram means people that you cannot get married with. Now, weeping, it is permissible to weep, to cry quietly over the dead, provided that it does not reach the level of wailing. Now you're out of hysteria. You know, you are screaming and you're knocking your head on the wall. You know, you are starting to pull your hand. That kind of expression is not allowed in Islam. Meaning, you are not ready to accept the qadar of Allah. We came from Him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sooner or later we have to go back. This is not our home. Our home is the hereafter. This is a transit for all of us. Or you can say, this is here for us to stop over, waqaf. You know, there's a place that you will not complete your Hajj without spending some time in where? In Arafah. And Arafah is considered what? Wukuf. Wukuf means what? Just stop over. Not for you to overnight. Just stop over. It's like the R&R or stop over. Put some petrol in your car. Put some food in your body. And then carry on. Yeah. And does not exceed 3 days. How bad you feel, how sad you are, you don't weep more than 3 days continuously. If you want to weep, then 3 days stop. The only one who can have wailing that is allowed, meaning, is the wife. How long? 4 months, 10 days. The wife should not be exposed to any kind of party. But the normal things, she can still go on. She can go to market if she have to been doing that, to buy things, to cook, to survive, to eat. You can do. She can go to the mosque to perform the prayer. She can attend classes to strengthen her iman. She can go for umrah and hajj. No problem. Just for to enjoy holiday. No. She just has to control herself. This is expressed in the above hadith where the Prophet ﷺ permitted Jabir and his aunt to weep. This is further supported by other action of the Prophet and his companion on the occasion of death, as in the above hadith of Aisha, as well as the forthcoming dalil or report. Anas reported that he went once with Allah's messenger to the house of Abu Saif, the husband of his son Ibrahim, foster mother. Allah took his son Ibrahim, hugged him and kissed him at a later date. As a later date, Anas also accompanied Allah to Abu Sufyan's house or Abu Saif when Ibrahim's soul was departing from his body. Prophet Muhammad eyes started shedding tears. And Abdul Rahman bin Auf exclaimed, "Even you, O Allah's messenger, shed tears?" As his tears continued to fall, he said to Abdul Rahman bin Auf, "Ya Ibn Auf, innaha rahmah." Oh, Ibn Auf, it is a mercy. The eyes shed tears. The hearts feel sad. But we only say things pleasing to our Lord. While we are having this kind of feeling, we still say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and then we ask Allah for his mercy. Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu. Asking Allah's mercy. You do not just cry and don't say anything. You don't cry and then go and say, why oh Allah, why you take his life? You don't do that as a believer, because he belong to Allah. Every one of us belong to Allah. We don't own our body. All the property we have belong to him. Our children belong to him. Everything belong to him. We are just trustees. And if you have no feeling at all, then you know there's no mercy in you. Can you go to a funeral and you see the family is crying, is so sad, and you are so happy? You better don't go. The same thing if the person that passed away, when he was alive, he don't like you at all. Sometimes he don't even want to offer you the Islamic greeting. He hate you so much. When he die, you don't have to go. Just pray for him from a distance. Because his family also won't be happy with your presence. Don't be there. You must know the limit. Because people may say, wow, he must be happy to see my family die. So you're not giving them a good feeling. So you excuse yourself. You may feel for them, then pray for them from a distance. You don't go there and want to kiss his forehead again. When he hate you so much, you know, he don't even want to see your face when you are alive, and now he's dead, you come and kiss his forehead. What kind of expression are you, what kind of sign are you sending across to the family? Don't do that. You know that he don't like you. Accept the fact. Why? We don't know. Do he have the right to hate you? We don't know. But sometimes people don't like you just because of what? Jealousy. That is not a right one, but we still honor, respect. Yeah, them that they don't want to see us. Don't see that. This is adab. The eyes shed tears, the heart feels sad. But we only say things pleasing to Allah. There is a difference. You can cry, you can feel sad, but you are not going to blame anybody. You just ask Allah for mercy and forgiveness. We are indeed saddened by your departure, O Ibrahim. Being human, the Prophet is a human. Ana basharun mislukum. I am a human like all of you. I have feeling, you have feeling. So when a person is being tasked by Allah with some close family member pass away, they will be sad and they will cry. You don't go and say, stop crying. Who give you the right to stop them? It's a sign that the people are crying before they miss you, they love you. That's why they cry. And that's why the Chinese have this kind of belief too. If nobody wants to cry, they will hire a group of people and they pay them to cry. To show to the public, you see, no, so many people miss him. Yeah. You will know whether you have a soft heart or not, whether you have mercy or not, when somebody pass away, that you know. If you don't feel anything, that's not a good sign. Don't think that you are strong. No, no, no. You don't have a good heart because you don't feel for others. So that's why there's no hadith to say that you cannot cry, you cannot shed tears for a good reason. No. Father and mother were always saddened by the death of their children. How bad their children are, they feel very sad. They always miss their children, even their children have grown up. There is the father's feeling and the mother's feeling, especially the mother's. Allah have tested the mother more than anyone else in the family. The pain she go through when she got pregnant, the delivery pain, yeah. They have to go through all the pain, the suffering, yeah. And this pain no man can understand, yeah. If man can understand, they will love, yeah. They love their wife more, extra care. then they have a good planning. If not, the woman have to suffer again. Before anything, they have another suffering again. So men should feel, give them a good rest, plan a few years. Can you imagine after one delivery, second delivery? And sometimes we love to see children, but in the same time you must discuss this properly. The worst thing if something happened, if the baby come out and after a few minutes he passed away. Anyhow, a good news to share. 2 days ago I just received another grandson. From my wife, from my my daughter. I visited her yesterday. Not yesterday, 2 days ago I just visited her. The day that I heard that she delivered. And they have chosen a name, Ishaq. The first one Abdullah, the second Abdurrahman, the third Abdurrahim, the fourth one Ishaq. Abdullah bin Umar reported that Sa'ad bin Ubadah once fell sick. Allah's messenger went to visit him with Abdurrahman bin Auf. Abdurrahman bin Auf is a very successful businessman and also a very rich man among the companions of the Prophet. And he is one of the companions that the Prophet said that will go to paradise. Why? Because he is one of the men who never allowed wealth to make him forget Allah. The more he have, the more he contribute for Allah. Allahu Akbar. In Islam, brother and sister, sacrifice is very important. The people who give more, they will receive extra from Allah. Even in the time of the Prophet, when there is a holy war going on, and those who went into the battlefield without bringing their horse, without bringing their weapons, the booty of the war can be shared, but they will get lesser. For those who went into the war with their own money, with their own weapon, their own horses and camel, if after the war the booty is distributed, they'll get more. Why they get more? Because their contribution is more. So the more you give for Allah, you don't lose anything. The more Allah will reward all of us. Abdurrahman bin Auf is known for his generosity. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas also was there, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud. When they went in, they found him unconscious. He asked, "Aqad qada?" Is he dead? The Prophet asked. He was told, "No, O Allah's Messenger." So he cried. When the other people saw that, they cried as well. He then said, "Allah tasma'un, wouldn't you listen to what I tell you? Allah does not punish for the tears of the eye, nor for the grief of the heart, but he punish or give mercy because of this." Then he pointed to the tongue. In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ did mention, "Innal mayyita la yu'azzibu bi bukai ahlihi alayh." This is very is an authentic hadith, Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet used the word innal mayyita, meaning indeed the dead person, he will be tortured in the grave. Innal mayyita la yu'azzibu ali bibukai ahli ali, he will be punished by Allah in the grave because of the family who wail on him. You know why the Prophet said that? Now in the early hadith said that you can cry, you can shed tears. But now another hadith that the dead person will be tortured by Allah because the family is wailing on the dead person. Why? Is crying, wailing, shedding tears haram? No. The Prophet is trying to tell us, to guide us. Example, in the family we have so many siblings. Someone died before us. Then you have some of the members of the family will complain, will wail and cry and scream like going into hysteria. Why, Clay? And you witness that. Because these are very close family. Everybody love each other so much. So when something happened to one of the family members, someone lost control. He just cannot control. He hitting his head on the ground, on the wall. No. He said, no way. We belong to Allah. If Allah says come home, we have to go home. Then you who have witnessed that happen, you did not warn the others. You must say to the family, if I die, please don't do this to me. If I will die in the future, I don't like all this kind of thing to go on. I don't allow it. Please don't be crazy. Don't get out of control if I die. You did not say anything to them. Then you die. And the same thing happened. The other sibling will go crazy again. But if you have reminded him, but they will do, you have no sin because you have done your part. Because anything that is wrong that happened in our life, we must say something. Especially to the family members who are close to you. How can you say, I cannot say anything? Tell them what you want, what you don't want. You can tell them if you know that now they are crazy, they bring flowers, they decorate the grave. You must tell them, even I die, I don't want this. A, B, C, D, I don't want. But if they do it, you have no sin anymore because you have told them. There is amal ma'ruf nahi munkar. Thing that is wrong and you were there to witness, you must put a stop. Don't let this thing happen to you. But you don't say anything. Then you die, the same thing repeat. And that's why the Prophet said, innal mayyita la yu'azzibu bi buka'i ahli alayh. The dead person will be punished because of the wailing of those family members upon his death. You understand, brothers and sisters, inshallah? So if the family don't have that problem, then you don't have to tell them. But if you have seen, you have witnessed something have happened because family are very close family, so then you must tell them, please, my brother, my sister, I have seen this before, that's why I can understand why the Prophet said that. You must control the environment. You don't want any of the children who believe in Allah say, why Allah take his life? Yeah. Sometimes parents also can get out of control. Why my son? Let me go first. This is Allah's will, not your will. It's not your choice. We belong to Him. When Allah have decided, He have ordained. It's not we who plan. It's Allah. Just learn how to have what? Patience and faith. قدر الله وما شاء فعل. It's important, brother and sister. Yeah? But the most dangerous thing that can cause, that's why the Prophet said, he pointed to the tongue. Why? Either you are doing bad thing, you like to say bad thing, or you did not stop somebody from doing something wrong to you. You know, according to the Sunnah, what you should do if you die. Yeah? Then you know that they are not following. So now, before anything happens, you call the family members, tell them, if anything happened to me, I want my body to be, the death, my death to be arranged in this manner, in the way that please Allah. I don't want all the other nonsense. You must make it clear. If you have to write down a will, write down a will. If they don't carry out that will, they have to be blamed, not you. That's very important. Now today things have gone haywire. I've seen in my own eye, I experienced that before. People who are, was alive, he was a very good brother who loved the Quran and Sunnah. He always remind the people that don't do all these things that is not following the Sunnah of the Prophet. And he was very close to us. Well, everybody have their weaknesses. He now make it very clear to the family. But the family was not close. Only he was very, very close. And he got all out when he was alive, telling people that all this thing is wrong. All this thing is wrong. Allahu Akbar. Very good brother. But what happened? Sometimes we forgot to remind our family. We forgot to bring them close to learn the same thing together. We learn, but they don't learn. Even I was there. They didn't call me, yeah, to handle the case. They call other people. That is their choice. You cannot just come into the family without they allowing to do what you're supposed to do. We're just waiting. They call other group. That is their choice. We feel pity when he was alive. He fight against all these people who do all the wrong thing. But when he died, that thing happened to him. And that made me realize how important that Allah said, "Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." Save your soul and your family. You must educate yourself and the family, so they have the same understanding. So you don't have to worry anymore. They know what to do. But if you are active, your family are not active. Just husband and wife. Example, just husband and wife. The wife is active, attending all the Quran and Sunnah class. But the husband are not active at all. He don't follow, but he don't stop you. Then now you know the Sunnah is like this. We should follow the way of the Prophet. Not only when you are alive, even when you are dead, you want to follow the way of the Prophet. And you forgot to remind them. So happen we die first. Do you think your husband will look for us? No. He will look for people who he is exposed to. And they were going to come with their own kind of thing now. And now all the thing that is not taught by the Prophet is happening on the day you die. We want to die Husnil Khatimah. We want to die following the Sunnah. And that's why the Prophet said, when you send the grave, the deceased body to the graveyard, before you put the grave, the body down in the grave, you can try to make a ball of earth and pass it down and read the word. Make a dua. Bismillah wa ala millati rasulillah. You want to go down, you want to send the dead body down with the name of Allah and follow the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way of Prophet Muhammad, not follow your culture. Follow the way of Prophet. This is what the Prophet said, but a lot of people don't know what to say. A lot of people are not aware when you want to carry the body down to the hole. The one that have the right to be in the graveyard is the one who do not have any relationship with their wife last night. The Prophet will ask, anybody who want to go down, do you have a relationship with your wife? Because we do not know when we are going to die. Maybe last night you are so happy with your wife, and then somebody passed away. And then you cannot go down. In the time the Prophet asked, and somebody said, yes, I was with my wife last night. You come up. Send another guy down. Who do this today? Who care about all this ruling now? Either because we don't know, neither the grave people understand the rule. They don't know. They are just caretaker. They don't have knowledge. Now they are coming to tell you what kind of stone you want, what kind of grass you want. What is this? Is this a garden? It's a graveyard. Treat it as a graveyard. A lot of things for us to learn, brother and sister, before anything happened to us. If you have the knowledge, you don't say anything, we also have problem. Yeah. Or you inform them, I want, if I die, I want this thing to happen, this thing to happen. There will be more problem. No. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr, the father of Aisha, came from his house, and as since riding his mare, he dismounted and went towards her house through the masjid. Umar was addressing the people, but Abu Bakr did not speak to anyone until he entered her house. He went to the Prophet ﷺ, who was covered with an embroidered piece of lined cloth. He uncovered his face, leaned over him, kissed him between the eyes, and wept. And he said, I would sacrifice both my father and mother for you. O Prophet of Allah, Allah will surely not combine for your two deaths. You have died a death after which you will never die. That means that the real death is only one. Look at the Abu Bakr's feeling expression to the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning he is saying that if Allah allowed, I would sacrifice both my father and mother for you. There are times people who pray, O Allah, I do not know when I'm going to die. You know best. But I've seen somebody who is so beneficial, can do a lot more than I can do a lot. I can be beneficial to others. If you can, if you allow me to sacrifice 10 years of my life and give it to him so that he can live longer than me, This feeling is very good feeling. Of course, we don't know when Allah is going to ordain our death, but that feeling is considered a good feeling. That means you realize that you can do a lot in this world to help others. Somebody can do so much, he is worth living more than you. Because people need them. People don't need us. You can have that call. You know Adam alayhi salam, our father, when Allah present him all his descendants, and one of them is Prophet David. Adam was informed by Allah through Angel Gabriel, he will live for 1,000 years only. 1 and 30. But when he was in the age of 960, angel of death came to him. Time's up. He asked, how long have I lived? 960. Allah said 1,000. 40 years. Some 40 years. You come too early. But angel of death informed him, but you have asked Allah that 40 of your years to be given to one of your descendants, Dawud, for 40 years. And Allah answered your prayer at that time. Your 40 years it was given to David, Dawud alayhi salam. Adam, being a human, he forgot. How long ago you have said that? No. When you forgot, normally you denied. And that's why we were called insan. Insan, derived from the root word nasiya. We always forgot. We always forget this. Very common. When you forget something, what do you always say? Normally? No, I didn't say that. No, you didn't tell me, you didn't say to me, I do remember you telling me. When you forget, you always deny. This happened to Adam, and this what happened to all of us until today. We have that character. But what really happened, brothers and sisters, when the Prophet passed away, Omar was not ready to accept that. To the extent that Omar now is telling everyone, whoever said Muhammad is dead, I am going to cut off his head. Omar, Abu Bakr came later on, and then he just went into the house where the daughter is there to check and to confirm. Omar have the love towards the Prophet in a different feeling. He just can't accept that the Prophet is no more there for him. The love towards the Prophet. He said, no, Prophet Muhammad, he may have left us for just 40 days like Moses. Left his people for 40 days. He'll come back. Allah revealed an ayah, innakal mayit wa hum mayitun. The Prophet will taste death like how the early Prophet who have passed away. Nobody live forever except Allah. Hayyun qayyum la yamut. After Abu Bakr, you see how wise Abu Bakr. He may just come and join Omar. Whoever said that Muhammad is dead, no, we are going to punish all of you. Very emotional. But Abu Bakr, he just entered the house and confirmed by himself first that the Prophet had passed away. Abu Bakr's iman is so great that nobody can compare their iman with the iman of Abu Bakr. To the extent that the Prophet did mention, if you put the iman of Abu Bakr on one scale and the iman of all the believers at other scale, the iman of Abu Bakr is heavier than all of us. Now, what will happen? You come to a Muslim who said that Abu Bakr is kafir. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. That's why we cannot accept those who abuse the companions of the Prophet. And there's only one group who do that. Those who claim they love Ali. Ali never said bad to Abu Bakr. Ali was so helpful, was so close to Abu Bakr. But this who said he loved Ali so much, he said Abu Bakr is an infidel. How can you accept these people? Then Abu Bakr came up and he said, whoever worship Muhammad sallallahu, indeed Muhammad had passed away, whoever worship Allah, Allah will live forever. He had to make the declaration. Somebody must make a declaration. And Abu Bakr dared to say that, because the rest dare not, because Omar is very upset now. But Abu Bakr, his love towards the Prophet, his belief is strong, and then he said, whoever worship Muhammad, Muhammad is dead. Whoever worship Allah, Allah will live forever. Then the whole scenario come down. So everybody was crying. Everybody. Young, old. Because the Prophet is a very loving man. Respect the elders, love the young. Woman, whoever heard the Prophet pass away, everybody cried. No. Inshallah, in the next class, not next Wednesday. Because next Wednesday we are not around, and then we will share with you a bit, what really happened after the declaration from Abu Bakr that the Prophet has passed away. Today we end until here, and inshallah, if there are any questions from the sisters or brothers, it's question time. Tafaddal. Sisters, any question from the sister's side? Naam. Kun salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. This is a very good question from the sisters. Normally, whoever are close to the masjid, you hear the azan, five-time azan. Only azan fajr, the morning azan, there is one addition words. After hayya al-salah, hayya al-falah, as-salatu khayrun minan nawm. There are people who advise us to respond by saying sadaqta wa barakta. Sadaqta wa barakta. But the hadith is not authentic. The authentic hadith, the Prophet just mentioned, when Anybody call for azan, for those who hear the azan should respond like how the muazzin recite the azan. That means if you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we said Allahu Akbar, Allah, we respond. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we respond the same. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we respond the same. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, we respond the same. Hayya ala salah, la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. Hayya ala salah, la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. Hayya ala al-falah, la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. Hayya ala al-falah, la hawla wa la quwata. Because the Prophet said so. Think that the Prophet never said anything more than that. As-salatu khairum minan naum. You just said as-salatu khairum minan naum. You don't have to add any kind of recitation that was not taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the meaning may be good. The same go when people make iqamah. When they say qad qamatis salah, qad qamatis salah. You have some people say aqamallahu wa damaha. People use that kind of response. There's no authentic hadith. Sometimes there's a lot of prayer being added with good intention, but it's not from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't have to follow, because this is considered ibadah. Azan is ibadah. Iqamah is ibadah. Even Imam Shafi'i said, "La qiyas fil ibadah." When ibadah is concerned, there is no qiyas. You cannot just add and plus without any authentic reference. Yeah. Last time we do that too, because we do not know. We just follow. But then we realize it's not based on any authentic hadith. We stop. Yeah. Just respond the same. Next question from the sisters. Any question from sisters? From the brothers? Brothers also have no more question. Sister also no more question. Alhamdulillah. Yes, Sister Aisha. Okay. Yeah, this is just to get your contact number or your email in case there's changes of classes and so on, then we know how to contact all the jama'ah, yeah, so that you don't have to come all the way and the class is not on. Yeah, so we need all the cooperation from the sister. You can check your list here whether your name, your address, your contact number is there. If not, you have to help yourself to fill in, and you get it from Sister Aisha from here. They are the class monitor. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. So once again, brothers and sisters, now we understand that if anybody said to you, when you there's a death, you cannot cry, we know that it's not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The normal kind of crying, sadness, yeah, to show that we have mercy, we feel for others. Yeah. But sometimes there are people who just can't have that feeling. No, sometimes it's not that you are a bad person, you just cannot shed tears. Yeah. I end up with my experience when my father passed away. I was not a Muslim yet. Yeah. I was very young. I just cannot cry. I don't know how to cry. But we all must follow. Yeah, when the body is moved, we have to follow. We have to walk behind the dead body. The one who really cried and fainted is my elder sister. Yeah, and she is the one who my father loved, yeah, most among the children. She felt very, very sad. And she keep on crying. Halfway, she fainted. Yeah. For the family or any members of the public, they said that this father must be a very, very good father to this daughter. That's why they can cry until they get fainted. We are too young to cry at that time. So my uncle is the one who pinched me until I cry. So I cry for the wrong reason. Yeah, because of pain. Yeah, sometimes different people cry for different reason. But at the end of the day, the Prophet said, whoever cry for the sake of Allah, that tears is sacred. That tears will allow us to receive the shade from Allah in the day of judgment. Yeah. So don't feel sad. Don't feel bad if you can cry. Sometimes it's good to cry. We know how relief after we shed tears sometimes. Yeah. For the right reason. So once again we pray, may Allah give us mercy inside our heart, love for each other. We keep on praying for each other. We never give up and try to learn what is important for all of you. Yeah? Don't just wait for the class, think that you know important. When we are around, call us, come in, let us help ourselves. Yeah? And be more proactive so that we don't delay. Think that we can do it immediately, we don't delay. To safeguard our iman, to safeguard our family. So this is my last advice for all of you before, because today we are leaving for our peace conference in Oslo. We only be back after 10 days, inshallah. Pray for us. We will pray for all of you and your family, inshallah. Amen. Amen, inshallah. Amen. In the aircraft, they always say, for Malaysian, welcome home. Good word, alhamdulillah. Yeah? May Allah bless all of us. And please, don't forget the one page per day, Quran. Get close to the book of Allah, Rabbul Alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Thanks. Don't forget to try to write in your details, approach Sister Aisha, inshallah.